This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emrys, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. Have you ever set a target for the team emotionally just to realize that the team hit that mark, but you still don't have the money that you think you should? Or have you ever struggled to figure out exactly how much you need in sales, labor hours, or average repair order in order to pay the bills? If not, then maybe you have it all figured out. But for the rest of you, this week is for you. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you, as always, to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want to hear a question answered on here, just have a question for me or an idea or an episode, shoot me an email, podcast@parmelis.com. Be happy to answer that. And hey, maybe it'll be a future episode as well. And lastly, cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, NapaTrax and Promotive. If you need to recruit that new service advisor, that new technician, that new general manager, give Promotive a call. They will help you find the next rock star for your team. And if you're searching for a new shop management software, give NapaTrax a shout. Demo it out. See if it's a right fit for you and your team. As always, let them know that you heard about us on Business by the Numbers. Let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. NapaTrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Visit them online at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. Great news. You now have a hiring partner to help you with the heavy lifting of hiring your next superstar. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your auto repair shop. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. The big question I always get, Hunt, how much in sales do I need to break even? What a loaded question for a number of reasons. First off, sometimes I get this question and people are well far ahead of this. Hey, Hunt, what do I need to break even? Don't worry about it. It's 10, 15% lower than what you're doing now, so don't even think about it. It's out of your head. What should you be doing to make even more money? Like, set a target in the future. If you're afraid things are contracting, things are getting tight, and you're afraid that you're getting to that point, I get it. But a lot of times, like, people ask this stuff, and it's like, who cares? That's in a rearview mirror. We're never even going to touch that. Another thing about this is, for most people, a true break-even. Like, truly, your profit and loss statement is showing zero at the bottom. Not a loss, not a profit. Truly breaking even on it. Most people, that's not enough. Do you take out enough on just salary to survive? If not, then your break-even's not enough, right? If you factor in distributions to kind of pay your personal expenditures, distributions are distributions of profit. So if you don't have profit because you're breaking even, it's not going to pay the bills. And lastly, what about debt? What about taxes? If you have $3,000 worth of debt payments every month, just like distributions, you use profit to pay debt. No profit, no money to pay debt. Very careful here, and we'll actually add this into a piece of the break-even here. I don't like anyone doing just a true break-even. That includes you if you're listening. If you're doing a break-even, add something onto the bottom. No one gets into business to break-even. Even if you are in the business to break-even, you still need to build up reserves so that you can have something stashed away. If you're doing this at roundup, add $5,000. The whole idea on this is you're going conservative. So whenever we're talking about stuff, we're going to round up to the next thing. If we think our sales target is 102,350, do not go tell the team that that's the number. The number is 105. Hey, the number is 110. The reason is, this is how, I guess this is my accounting and tax background. Everything that we do for our clients and really have always been taught is conservative. A lot of times when we do tax estimates for people, they'll be surprised come April that they didn't owe anywhere as much as we thought. The reason is for a number of things. There's seasonality, things change. But also, I would much rather set someone up for worst case scenario and surprise them in the opposite way than to kind of give them a best case scenario. And if things don't go best case on it, have a nasty surprise. Your break even is the exact same thing. The last thing that you want to do, set a target for the team, hits a goal, and then boss is all pissed off screaming at people because you don't have any money to pay. Not only do you have kind of done a disservice to yourself, because the whole reason you did this exercise is to figure out what the team needs to do. Now the team hit it and it's not enough for you. So you're pissed off. The team is extremely pissed off. Boss, we did everything that you told us to do. We hit the numbers. We hit the cars. We hit the labor. We hit the hours. We hit the sales goal on it. And that's not good enough. you'll lose motivation of the team. And I think sometimes you would maybe lose a little bit of, I shouldn't say respect. Respect is a bad word, but maybe trust. Does Balls even know who's steering the ship here? I don't know. He told us last week our goal was 80 grand. Now he came in this week and said it's 130. Who knows? If we hit 130, he's probably going to say the goal is 160. I think this guy's already making money. He's just trying to squeeze us. Be transparent on this to a certain extent. You don't need full transparency because a lot of these people don't really understand how expensive it is to run a business or really care to a certain extent. That's your problem, not theirs. And then another thing about this is open your eyes. Hey, boss, we can never do 125. You can break that down. Yeah, you guys can. If we do 125, that's 62.5 probably in labor sales on this, divided by your hourly rate. Guys, this would be averaging 85 hours a week. I got three technicians. I pay you guys a combined 120 hours a week. I think you can sell 85 for me. And lastly on this is to have this conversation. Talk about this stuff. Talk to your team about how you calculated this, where this came up. Like I said before, talking about setting the target incorrectly and kind of disenfranchising the team. The same idea could be kind of done if you just were going out there and the team just thinks that you're going and trying to shoot for a goal to make even more money. Kind of explain, unpack why you do this, how you do this, especially for the advisors. Technicians, not as much. They have a little bit more of a dedicated track on this of, hey guys, your job really is to just turn hours. Everything else is kind of someone else's problem to a certain extent. The biggest thing that I'm kind of explaining to service advisors here is the interrelationship between sales and gross profit. Because the biggest thing here that can really lead people astray is a lot of times when you break this into a sales target, if we're keeping the gross profit constant, then we're assuming, hey, that is not going to change. And so then we're setting a target for the sales aspect. If you have a service advisor that goes in full sales mode, okay, boss, I got this. We're going to hit these numbers, start discounting stuff, wheeling and dealing to try and get it. Boss, I got that. I got 120 like you said. Yeah, that doesn't work because you gave away the farm here and we lost 10 points on gross profit percentage and now that doesn't even work. Talk to your team, coach your team, educate your team. And I was kind of talking to Carmen Tracy before we started recording here. This is a little bit of a weirder episode because there is a good bit of math. And I know a lot of you guys don't like math, don't like numbers, and probably even worse, you can't even see this. So you have to listen to all of this. But this math is fairly basic here, and I think that anyone can understand it. And really, I mean, the math aspect of this is, yeah, we got calculators. We got plenty of stuff they can figure out. What I want you guys to understand is really kind of the foundation of this. But last section on this, I'll kind of give you guys some more pointers on how to do this for your own business. Let's talk about what this simple formula is, because I've heard this time and time again. Oh, it's pretty straightforward. Famous last words, and then start rambling this stuff off. But I've told you guys this time and time again, if you can run a business, if you can run a shop, you can do this stuff. I joke about this all the time, but accounting, and especially the accounting and tax that we do, it is very basic level stuff. This is not high level. This is not super advanced. I'm not going to inflate my ego here and say, oh, no one could ever figure this out. If you can figure out how to tune a carburetor, if you can figure out how to use PicoScope, you can do all of this stuff. A lot of times what you see is just kind of, people just shut down. Oh, I'm never going to be able to understand this. You can. I have never, ever, 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 ever met a single shop owner that couldn't get a handle on this stuff that showed an interest. If you have no interest and you don't think you're ever going to understand it, you're probably right. But if you think that you can figure it out and you think that you can use these numbers to make your business better, you're also right as well too. Don't beat yourself up. Anyone can do this. So let's kind of talk about that formula. Very, very easy. And it is as follows. Overhead, your overhead cost in dollars. This is going to be a number here, and it'll make more sense here when you go do a couple exercises. What is our total overhead in dollars? I'm going to divide that by our gross profit percentage, and that's going to give me my sales needed. If I do my overhead, if I don't add anything to my overhead, and I divide it by my gross profit percentage, that's literally going to give me my break-even sales target. Because like, look at it from the opposite way. If our sales multiplied times our gross profit percentage, what are we going to have left over? Gross profit. Sales times gross profit percentage equal gross profit dollars. And if your gross profit dollars equal your overhead, then you are going to have what for net income? Nothing. Truly break even. Algebra 101, you can use this on both sides of the equation. again, I get this. This is kind of a weird idea to think about, especially mentally here, but let's kind of go do some exercise. And the biggest thing that I want to talk about here is how gross profit percentage affects these things. And also, a little bit of a warning about this gross profit percentage. Let's start with a shop. Overhead is $50,000. Gross profit percentage is 50%. It's like the 50s here. So I got $50,000, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take $50,000, I'm going to divide it by a gross profit percentage, so I'm going to divide by 0.5, and I'm going to get $100,000. Remember, dividing by 0.5 is the same as multiply it times 2. So if your overhead is $50,000 and your gross profit is 50%, then your break-even target's going to be 100. If your overhead is $100,000 and your gross profit is 50%, then your target is now going to be 200,000. Very, very easy to think about here. Let's take a look at what happens when we have an increase or decrease in gross profit. Let's say that maybe you're not very close to what you feel like your break-even target is. Maybe you're starting out the business, maybe making some changes. And right now, same business, same overhead. So we still got $50,000 in overhead, but currently your gross profit is only around 40% instead of 50%. What is that going to do to your break-even sales target? If we take 50,000 and we divide it by 0.4 this time, because we're only having 40% gross profit, our sales target is now $125,000 a month. Remember, at 50% gross profit, we only need 100,000 of sales to break even. At 40% gross profit, we now need $125,000 in sales. This is why gross profit is so important. And gross profit, it is a great example of working smarter, not harder. Hey, if you have a higher gross profit percentage, you're probably going to need less in sales to break even. So if your gross profit is 60% and your overhead is 50 grand, you actually only need $83,000 in sales to break even. If you just really like to work hard and you don't really like to price stuff and you're only at 40% gross profit, that's going to take $125,000 in sales. The higher the gross profit percentage, the less sales you're going to need, because more of those sales dollars are turning into gross profit instead of going away to our technicians, parts vendors, shop supplies, sublet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I referenced before that this can get a little bit tricky if you're kind of still growing the shop and you're not quite there, especially if your productivity is not great. What you're going to see is you could come up with some really, really wacky numbers here. Let's say that you're starting off and you got 3 technicians and they're all on guarantees. They're not being very productive. It is not unheard of, especially for a new shop here, to maybe be in a 35% for gross profit. You can't ever have a successful shop in the long run at those numbers, probably, unless you're like a big high volume tire shop, something like that. I mean, there's ways to do this, but if you have a 35% gross profit, I would not try to throw sales at that. That is working harder. Yeah, you can make money, but you are going to be doing a ton of work. I would be looking at increasing that gross profit percentage before I really start throwing tons of sales at it. And that is a great example here, because if you're going down through and you're looking at this and you kind of run a break-even sales target at 35% gross profit, you're going to get a number that's astronomical. It might even not be physically possible in your physical confines, because you just couldn't get enough guys in there to turn that many hours or commit that much in sales. Be careful. So like if you're looking at this and you're saying, hey, I'm at 35% gross profit now, but you know, based on increase in productivity, new technician, whatever, here in the next couple months, or if things go to plan, I'm going to be at 40, maybe 50% gross profit. Use that gross profit target. You obviously have to hit that gross profit target, or else that sales target is never going to work, but be very careful here. Now, same flip side, if you are running super, super lean and you don't want to be running that lean in the future, going to hire some more people or whatnot, then don't use an unreasonably high gross profit figure as well either. Maybe you're running 70% gross profit right now because you are the lead technician. Do not use that 70% if you're planning on stepping out of the building and becoming maybe the advisor or just managing the business on this, right? So be careful. Don't use a number too high. Don't use a number too low. Can just really give you some wacky figures here. I think we all got that. Overhead dollars divided by gross profit percentage equals sales target needed. Pretty straightforward. Let's talk about, we kind of showed the differences of driving gross profit. Increasing gross profit percentage is crazy on how much it will decrease that break-even amount if you're increasing it, But then unfortunately, the opposite way, if that gross profit percentage is falling, it'll really put that break-even target very far out there and sometimes out of reach. Napatrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice, and having a local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, our representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business, with a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. Are you tired of spending endless hours searching for the perfect talent to join your team? Promotive is your full-service automotive staffing solution. At Promotive, we believe in being more than just a recruiting agency. We become an extension of your team, working tirelessly to ensure we place the right talent with the right shops. With our always-be recruiting mindset, we're constantly seeking out the best professionals in the industry. We manage 90 to 95% of the recruiting process, taking the burden off your shoulders. When you partner with Promotive, you gain a dedicated recruiter and account manager who will work closely with you, understanding your unique requirements and seeking out candidates who fit seamlessly into your shop's culture. We'll ensure that every candidate we present is thoroughly vetted and aligned with your needs. With Promotive, you'll have a peace of mind knowing that we're handling the recruitment process with expertise and precision. We don't just match resumes, we match character, culture, and long-term success. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and experience the power of Promotive's expertise and dedication. Together, we'll build a stronger and more successful team. Cutting expenses is another thing that can be very hard, because if you're looking at this formula and you get the idea here, hun, if my gross profit is kind of stuck, if I want to bring that sales target down, the only way I can bring that down is going to be to reduce my expenses. I'm going to get tight. I'm going to tighten up the purse strings here, and I'm just not going to spend any money. I'm going to cut away some cost. It's very hard, and for most people, virtually impossible. But don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Take a look. And hey, if you have overhead that you can easily cut out without affecting any long-term income, then great, do it. Arguably, I'd look at this and say, why was it in there? And if you're saying, well, it was a personal expense, I'm not having the business pay anymore, that's kind of cheating. I mean, you're still going to have to pay for it, whether it's your funds or the business funds on it. Now, if you have something truly, like that magical $5,000 subscription to some service that you don't use, yeah, cut it. But most people just don't have that. When I look at overhead, I usually tell people, hey, that is what it costs to run your business. Who am I to tell you how you could cut cost? And arguably, there's probably not a ton of material things that you can really cut in there. But we'll talk about that in a second. Let's run through some examples of that. Let's say that you are in that goal of, hey, I'm going to cut expenses here, and see how much or how little that really changes and what the alternative would be as well too. Let's say that you are currently running like $80,000 in sales, and we'll use the same numbers as before. You got $50,000 in overhead and currently at around 50% gross profit. Decent business here, just sales are not there. So you go down through and you run that exercise and you come up with a sales target of 100K. Okay, currently at around $80,000 a month, in order to break even based on my overhead right now and my gross profit, I need $100,000 in sales. That's $20,000 away from what I'm doing right now. That just seems too much. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go around, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna cut some expenses. Somehow, you're able to find $5,000 in expenses to cut, and now our overhead is not 50 grand, it's only 45,000. If we take 45,000 divided by 0.5, because gross profit's still the same, now our sales target is 90,000. And so you can see, yeah, if you lower expenses, it is going to lower your sales target. Now we'll talk about it in a second, but going from 50,000 to 45,000 overhead is really not a small feat unless you're firing someone. What about if you went the opposite way? Like I said, it is a lot easier to drive gross profit than it is to cut expenses. These are easy. Do not get that confused. It's relatively easier to drive gross profit than to cut overhead in a large amount. Doesn't mean either of those are easy things to do. If it was, everyone would be doing it. If we were to keep our overhead the same at 50,000 and we were to increase our gross profit from 50% to 55%, our sales target is now $90,000. We could do $90,000 in sales at a 50% margin and cover our $45,000 of overhead, or we could do $90,000 of sales at a 55% margin and cover $50,000 of overhead. That's kind of showing you both ways. Hey, if you want to lower your sales target, yeah, you can cut overhead and leave your gross profit alone. But if you like your overhead, if you like what you pay for, really the only way to lower that target is going to be to drive your gross profit and drive your gross profit percentage. Now, this is the part where you tell me, Hunt, why is it so much easier to drive gross profit? How am I going to drive gross profit? It's pretty straightforward. And again, I mean, the ideas here are very easy. Now, in practice, selling the stuff, getting a customer to say yes, that's all harder. That's why most of my clients are with coaching companies and all these coaching companies exist. These are the guys that teach you how to do those things. If I look at this and I say, hey, why is it so hard to cut $5,000 out of this theoretical business? The first reason it's very hard is because the business doesn't exist. But seriously, if we look at this, that is a 10% cut in our overhead. We're going from $50,000 to $45,000. And also in the grand scheme of things, $5,000 a month is a large amount of overhead. What do you pay consistently over $5,000 for a month that you actually could cut? I'm sure you pay more than $5,000 for your rent, but probably going to have to pay your rent to someone. You don't want to turn into a mobile business, and a mobile business also has its own costs as well. You might pay more than $5,000 for your insurance, but again, not really discretionary. There might be some people there that make more than $5,000 a month, but if you could cut an employee or a team member and not lose any sales on this, then you have much bigger issues than this overhead idea. Truly, one of the only things that you probably spend enough money on that you could cut is advertising. And I'd say this all the time. Hey, if you want to save $5,000, I can save you $5,000 and I will guarantee this for a month. Cut your advertising. If you cut your advertising right now, you will not have any ill effects for the next 2, maybe 3 weeks. Almost guaranteed there, right? I think even an advertising company would argue this. Now, week 4, week 5, week 6, and a future from that, yeah, you're going to get killed because you are investing in your future there. You're investing to drive future car counts. And especially if you're looking at this break-even target, it probably means you're trying to drive sales. Can you think of a worse way to try and drive sales and to cut advertising dollars? Yeah, it's silly because it's short-sighted. And I feel for a lot of these advertising companies when things get tight, because a lot of times those are the first things that get cut. Hey, we just can't afford those mailers. Hey, we just can't afford those Google AdWords. Arguably, you can't afford to not be doing that stuff. Because if your sales are down and your profit is down, the last thing that you want to do is to cut your lifeblood of the future and your future car count by cutting advertising. But that is truly what a lot of people do here, because a lot of people look at their business like people have always been taught to budget their life personally. When people talk about their budget personally, it's never about driving sales or driving your salary. It's always about cutting out expenses. Hey, don't buy a coffee from Starbucks. That's how you balance the budget. Why is that? Because this is probably for someone that's not self-employed. So they don't really have as much control as one might think on how much they make. Now, in the grand scheme of it, hey, you could go work somewhere else. You could try to get extra shifts. You could get extra job and raise revenues. But for whatever reason, a lot of people look at the revenues as fixed and the expenses as variable. Now, another thing personally, there is a ton of stuff that you probably pay for that is discretionary. Just comment. That's your personal life. That's when you have fun. So yeah, probably I hope that the majority of your expenses personally are discretionary, because that probably means you're doing some pretty fun stuff. Business is the opposite. Almost the overhead is the thing that's fixed and the revenues are what is variable, really. And then again, for a business, there's just generally not that much discretionary spending going through there. And so you're looking at, hey, this is more or less what it costs to run this business in this location. Again, not that increasing production, increase your labor rate, increase your parts matrix is easy, but compared to cutting out a significant amount of expenses, yeah, I would much rather do that than the alternative. Before we kind of wrap up this and give you a little bit of homework on how you can do this for your own shop, like I said, I got to warn you on a couple of pitfalls of here. The first thing is, like I said, I just taught you how to calculate a break even more or less for your business. Now I want you to throw that out the window. Because like I said, who is ever going to shoot for a break even? You didn't start this business to break even. You started this business to make money. And if you're not making money, you're losing money, literally. Because if you're saying, hey, I'm going to break even, the best I'm ever going to do is break even, what happens when you don't for a couple months? You need profit to make up for months where you had losses. You need profit to put money away for a rainy day, for when things get slow, for when we have a recession, when you need a new tire machine, et cetera, et cetera. At the very least, you should always be adding a desired monthly profit on this. Now, what is that number? That's the beauty of this business. It can be whatever you want. Hey, you want to make $50,000 a month in additional profit? Perfect. Put it into this formula. Just add it to overhead. If you have an overhead of $50,000 and you want to make another $50,000 in profit, we would now have $100,000 in total overhead. And we divide that by 0.5, and now we get a new sales target. More or less, if you want to make $50,000 in profit and your overhead is $50,000 as well, we're going to need $200,000 in sales. Because if we have $200,000 in sales, half of that's going to turn into gross profit dollars, which half of that will go to our overhead, or $50,000 will go to overhead, and we will have that $50,000 left over. If you want your overhead to be the same as your net profit, kudos to you. But yeah, those are going to be some pretty high numbers. And I just kind of use that to explain how the stuff works. Realistically, you probably want an extra 10 or 20% over and above what your overhead is. Let's say that you want to make an extra $5,000 in profit. So instead of our overhead being 50, our overhead is now 55,000. Again, we still divide that by that 0.5. If we want to break even, we need $100,000 in sales. If we want to make an additional $5,000 in profit, we need $110,000 in sales. Seriously, guys, it's this easy. And even easier about this is $5,000 in loans, $5,000 in additional profit, moving somewhere where the additional monthly cost is going to be $5,000 between rent, utilities, whatever. The formula is exactly the same. Whatever you want, whatever you need additional on your overhead, you just add it into that number. Whether that's all going to go to loan service, it's all going to go to debt payments, or it's going to go to that new alignment rack lease. All of this stuff is kind of the same general idea. I like to give you guys real information here. Like I said before, the first part about this, none of this was your numbers. Hey, maybe your numbers are pretty close to it and your job is done here because you just use my numbers, or you get the idea. But I also like to give you guys something tangible. What did you actually learn and how can you implement this? It's one of my pet peeves when I go to a class or listen to someone speak and they have a lot of good ideas, but then they never get to the end of like, okay, but what does this tell me? How do I use this in my business? How do I apply this to my specific scenario? And a lot of times, if you don't get that answered, then more or less what you have learned can sometimes be worthless. I don't want to be worthless. I want you guys to get value out of this. So let's talk about how to do this for your shop. Biggest question I usually get is, Hunt, should I be using QuickBooks or your shop management software? You're going to have to use QuickBooks, if for nothing else, to get your overhead. Your shop management software is not going to have your overhead in it. Personally, for me, as you might imagine, I like to use QuickBooks for all of this stuff because it's a one-stop shop. Also, if I'm already going to be using the overhead out of QuickBooks, I probably want to use the gross profit out of QuickBooks because I know I'm really comparing apples to apples. You can use your shop management software as well, because the people on the front counter are going to be using that when they're looking at gross profit, when they're looking at trends and targets and stuff like that. And honestly, both of those should be speaking very similar numbers. One of them might be a little bit higher, one of them might be a little bit lower, but they should be in the same ballpark where, within reason, it doesn't matter which system you use. And also, like I said, when you're going down through this, if you're rounding up on it, we could have a 2-3% swing here. That is really just rounding errors because there are so many other variables to go into a business. The biggest thing I need to warn you guys, though, is make sure that you're comparing apples to apples. What I mean by that is if you're looking at QuickBooks and you're using the overhead out of QuickBooks, but your service advisor is a cost of goods sold in QuickBooks, then remember, it's not in your expense number if you're adding up total expenses there. If you kind of ignore this fact, I've seen people make this mistake before. They use the gross profit percentage out of the shop management software. They use their total expenses out of QuickBooks, and they've kind of ignored the service advisor cost because that's pulled up into cost of goods sold, but not reflected in their shop management software. If your service advisor cost is down under expenses, like some people like to look at it, you might not have these issues. But the biggest thing here is to figure out, make sure that it's something's either going one place or the other. If you're going to look at this, Hunt, should this be a cost of goods sold or should this be an expense? It really does not matter, honestly, for some of those smaller things, if it's a gross profit or an expense, as long as you factor it in and you kind of keep on doing it in a uniform way. What do I mean by that? If your service advisor cost is in cost of goods sold, then that means your gross profit percent is probably going to be smaller, which you might think my sales target's going to be higher than. No, because your overhead is going to be lower. Versus the flip side of this is if your service advisor cost is in expenses, your gross profit percentage might be higher, but so is your overhead. So ultimately, your sales target will be exactly the same. Now, speaking of gross profit percentage, really the biggest thing to remember on that one is, like I said, shop management software, QuickBooks, as long as they're apples to apples on it, it does not matter. And to be conservative, if I have one at 48 and one of them at 52 on it, I'm going to pick the lower one. I'm going to take the conservative one on there because if we come in and I'm factoring in 48 and I actually end up doing 50% gross profit, then boom, right? That's exactly what I'm trying to explain. I'd rather be surprised on the high side than the low side. Overhead's pretty easy, honestly. Like I said, if you're using all of this stuff out of QuickBooks, if you're using your profit and loss statement to do this, I would argue that you just use it how it's set up. If you have labor, parts, everything in cost of goods sold, then great. If you don't have it in there, who cares? For this example, you're going to be looking this in the future. So if you have it set up one way or another on it, just use how you have it set up. Because what that's going to do is the gross profit line in QuickBooks is automatically going to calculate the percentage. And then everything down below there in total expenses, that is your overhead. The only thing that you would need to add on to that that's never going to be on your profit and loss statement is a dollar figure for your desired profit level. And like I said, your monthly principal payments on your loan. Real quick on the loans. If you split up the principal in interest of your loan payments, the interest portion is actually already on your profit and loss statement. Interest is an expense. So the only thing that you would need to add on there is whatever the principal portion of that payment is. And what I mean by that is this. Let's say that you have a loan payment of $2,000, and the way that it's amortized, half of that's interest, half of that's principal. Do not add an extra $2,000 to your overhead to factor in that loan payment. Why? Because $1,000 of that has already been factored as an interest expense. You would only need to add an extra $1,000 of the principal that was not included. Now, for something like a lease or something like that, a lot of times people aren't booking interest on that. It would be the total cost there as well. And then lastly on this is, are you really factoring in what your minimum payment is, or are you factoring in what you want to be making? And credit cards are a great example of this. If you kind of get a little bit behind on credit cards and you're trying to set some targets to dig out of debt, don't set up these numbers with your monthly minimum payment, because it's going to take 35 years to pay off 50 grand in a credit card if you're only making the minimums. You know, if your minimum's 500 bucks, factoring in what's going to, you know, kind of chip away this in a reasonable level, maybe instead of factoring in 500 for that minimum monthly payment for the credit card, I'll use 2 grand to obviously cover the minimum, but also chip down on some of that principal balance as well too. We talked about why you do this. You talked about how you do this. We talked about where you find all of these figures. How do you know if you did it? And this is probably the most important part of what we're talking about here, because whether you do it emotionally, whether you do it by the book on this, if the target is not right, you have to quickly figure out why and fix it immediately, or else you've just wasted your time. How do you figure out if you've wasted your time, and what happens if you get a different result than you expect? Really, there's two different ways to look at this. One of those you can do immediately. The other ones you have to be a little bit patient for. If you want to go back and kind of check your math on this, a lot of times I'll go back historically and see if I had a month where I had a similar sales level and see if the bottom line in income is what I would expect it to be. Do not go back too far. Don't go back 5 years, because your gross profit might be significantly different. And hey, maybe even your overhead is too. Let's say that you were using that same example where we're striving for that magic $100,000 mark on monthly sales. We're sitting here in the first week of May of 2024. And what I would do here is I'll go back and look in the last 6-8 months and see if I had actually hit that number. If I go back and I look at October of 2023 and I notice, whoa, yeah, I did hit $100,000 in sales for that month. Let me see what I actually made. If I look at the bottom line there and I see that a zero, we didn't lose any money, we didn't make any money, then right there, I'm like, okay, cool. I probably did this correctly, because there's a month that I did that theoretical $100,000 in sales. And yeah, worked out that I didn't make any money, just as expected. Let's say that you go back and you look at that same month and it was $100,000 in sales, but you made $10,000 that month. You might say to yourself, well, that target is too high. No, take a look at the gross profit, take a look at the overhead. If you take a look at the overhead and the overhead for that month was only $33,000, then I'm looking to say, whoa, did I miss something that month? Oh man, you know what? I did forget to send my landlord the rent payment. That was $10,000 and I ended up having to send him two checks the following month. What that would say is, yeah, I did make more money that month, but it was just because I forgot to pay my rent. If I would have had that in there, these numbers would have been exactly right. Now, if you truly go back and you look at this and you say, no, nothing weird happened that month, then yeah, you need to go back and probably recalculate your numbers. Either you messed up on a gross profit percentage or you messed up on the overhead. Remember, those are the only two variables in this. If both of those are right, then technically the entire thing is right. But if one of those is wrong, then the entire thing is wrong as well, too. You went down through, you did historical, maybe you found a couple of things that you forgot about, maybe a couple of expenses that don't always happen here, and boom, you updated it. Now what do we do? Set and forget it? To a certain extent, yeah. We have to probably wait to see if our team can actually hit these numbers, guide the team, coach them up, make sure that we're doing this. But then again, in the future, when we do have those months where it's like, all right, sat down with the guys, we finally did it. Here we are, June, we made $100,000 in sales. What does the bottom line look like? It's the same exact idea. Looking down through this, saying, hey, is our overhead what we had expect? Is it higher or lower than what we expected? Was it a one-time anomaly? Like I forgot to make a rent payment or the opposite. I had a big property tax bill that was due that I didn't factor into my equation at all. Let's say that you had to pay $12,000 in property taxes, but it's only once a year. Do you need to increase your monthly overhead by 12 grand? No. You look at that and say, all right, really split over the entire year, that's really only like $1,000 a month. So yeah, for that one month, it does look bad, but the other months are going to work out perfectly fine. Now again, if you're starting to look at this and you're saying, hey, my gross profit is way off, my overhead is way off, and there's not really something that is out of the ordinary, then yeah, you probably didn't do it correctly. But go down through this, try it out, mess with it, talk to your team about this. This is not something that should just be in your head. And I see this all the time. I hear this from my clients. I hear this from shop owners. I hear this from managers. I hear this from second command. The guys just aren't hitting the numbers that I want them to. Okay, what is that number? I'm not sure. Okay, if you're not sure, how can they be sure? Or the guys aren't hitting the numbers I thought that they should be. Okay, what is that number? 120 grand. How'd you come up with that? No idea. Again, terrible target. Or a lot of times, yeah. Hunt, thank you for that episode. It was awesome. Went down through, figured out what my overhead is, figured out what my gross profit is. I came up with my sales target, but my guys just aren't hitting those numbers. All right, did you share with the guys what those numbers were or how you get there or what we need to change to do that? No. Okay. How are you going to judge them on something that they are not aware of? Do your research, look at this stuff, make your calculations, and most importantly, fill your team in on what you're doing. They're not mind readers. Now that you have this target, you can apply it any way that you please, and I hope that you do. If you want to use it to set some marketing goals, what you can do is you can divide the sales missing from your sales target less what you're actually doing right now in sales by your average repair order. So if you're $20,000 short on sales and you have $500 ARO, you take $20,000 and you divide it by 500, and that's going to come up with 40, or you need 40 additional cars to hit that sales target. Now, the same flip side of this is if you're currently doing 150 cars a month, you take that $20,000 and you divide it by 150 and say, hey, if we do not get any more cars, then we need to do about an extra $130 increase on every repair order in order to hit the sales target. Those two numbers are very important here, and a lot of times doing one or the other independently is probably too big to overcome, but a lot of times with like pricing and productivity, a little bit on pricing, a little bit on productivity, average repair order and car count are kind of a mix too. Hey, maybe we have an ARO lift and then also get some new cars as well, a little bit from a number of places, overall hopefully helping you achieve those numbers. Lastly, like I talked about, technicians do not talk labor dollars, really even sales dollars to a certain extent. Most of these guys think and talk in hours. So you got that new sales target of $100,000. Your technicians don't want to hear that. Boss, how many hours we need? All right, guys. So if we have $100,000 in sales we need, we're usually about 50-50 parts and labor. So that means I need around $50,000 in labor sales. Okay, boss, so what does that mean for us? We don't sell this stuff, right? We don't make these tickets. Okay, so if we need $50,000 in labor sales, I'm going to divide $50,000 by $150 or whatever my labor rate is. And if my labor rate is $150 an hour, then I can go and I can tell the guys we need 330 hours of labor sold in a month in order to hit our target. Now, if we want to break that down by the week, we can say, all right, we take 300 divided by 4.3, and guys, we need about 80 hours a week to hit our goals. That one sales target goal can be chopped up so many different ways that can be shared with your marketing company to say, hey, this is how many cars that we need. That could be obviously shared with your service advisor to show different ways that we can do this by increasing car count, increasing repair orders, increasing gross profit. And then lastly, making sure that our production team is aware of what their goals are and what the standards are. They can make sure that they're picking up their end of the deal on the production side of things. Guys, all I want you to do is try. Hopefully that you've kind of heard about this before. Maybe you've even tried this before, and this is a kind of push to redo this because these aren't good for more than maybe 6 to 12 months at most. No business stays the same. Prices go up, prices go down, people come, people go. Make sure you do your homework. Try this out. Take your time, do your math, and make the right decisions. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, please shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening to the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening apps. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.